You're listening to The Pulse, where it's all about student news, student opinions, and student voices.
That's right, you're listening to The Pulse today. The time is now 7 minutes past five. Apologies for just being a little bit late, but we've had quite a lot to prepare for today. We had the news break today that at least 58 people were killed and 515 were injured in Las Vegas on Sunday night when a gunman opened fire on a music festival crowd from the 32nd floor of the Mandalay Bay Resort and Casino. It is the deadliest shooting in modern US history. The non-stop gunfire, according to one witness, sent more than 22,000 country music fans scrambling for their lives. Police say that the lone suspect had at least 10 rifles when he was found dead in a Mandalay Bay hotel room. An off-duty Las Vegas police officer is among those among the dead. And in the wake of the shooting, the Las Vegas Police Department said authorities responded to a hotel room on the 32nd floor of the Mandalay Bay Hotel. And the police said that the suspected gunman, 64-year-old Stephen Paddock, was dead by the time that they were able to force entry. The motive is still unclear, and a senior law enforcement official has told ABC News that so far there are no ties to international terror. We are still, of course, receiving fresh information as this goes on. And I believe, Lizzie, you've got some updates for us from the BBC.
Yeah, so the BBC have just put up an article trying to explain a little bit about who the shooter was. So they've named the individual as Stephen Paddock. He was a Nevada resident living just outside of Vegas itself. And he did kill himself after the attack. Initial reports suggested that it was the police who had come in and shot him, but they're now releasing information that says that he killed himself. So clearly, whoever this guy was, he had some serious problems. Although ISIS are now claiming the attack was done on their behalf, there are actually Vegas police force are saying that there is no evidence to tie him to any terror organizations. There's nothing, he has no criminal record.
He appears to have worked as an accountant or auditor, and was a licensed hunter and private pilot.
Yeah, discussions with his family members don't indicate someone obsessed with guns or violence at all. However, I know this is a conversation we're having outside, is that we have the debate as to whether this constitutes him being a lone gunman or whether he is a terrorist.
Yeah, we had Eric Paddock, the suspected shooter's brother, told ABC News that he has no idea how or why this happened. As far as he knows, Steve was perfectly fine. Clearly, that wasn't the case. But again, as often as it does, the media response and also response from political commentators as well is always interesting. We have people like Tommy Lahren, who've always been big advocates for gun control, for gun owners' rights, coming forward in after Orlando, there was a big debate over whether or not people should actually respond by saying things like, I send my prayers and stuff like that, because if you're in a position of influence or power, then surely your response should be one of change rather than merely, you know, wishing that things didn't happen. But of course, as well, what Lizzie brought up was the idea that, you know, whether or not how issues of race and stuff like that tie into it, where like ISIS have apparently claimed responsibility, but kind of clearly at a country music concert you don't immediately associate anything other than that with, in terms of demographics, other than kind of white and old. And so whereas it, in comparison to the Orlando shooting, where, you know, there's a clear targeted demographic, the motivations here are still unsure. So, you know, we'd be reluctant to make any particularly sweeping generalizations when it comes to this stuff, but at the moment all we can do is speculate.
Yeah, all the Twitter debate at the moment seems to be surrounding gun control. As you said, Hillary Clinton came out recently, an hour ago or so, and called for tighter gun control, saying this is the time now. where, because of the situation where we can't say if it was terrorism or any other, we don't know what the motive was. That's all that the debate has been focusing on online.
And so far all we know, I think, is that it's 10 rifles. And I believe Lizzie said it was an automatic, or some of them were at least automatic.
I think there were a few that were automatic rifles, reports are saying. But I think one of the concerning things here is, you know, America gun laws, you know, from a British perspective, are crazy anyway. But specifically Nevada's gun laws, they're some of the sort of weakest in the US. You don't have to have as intensive background checks. There's no limit on the amount of ammunition you can buy. There's no limit on the amount of weapons that you can buy.
And clearly, you know, for most of us, 10 rifles would seem slightly extreme for one person.
For most people, I think one rifle. Yeah.
For the squids among us, I think maybe, but...
I think the really scary thing here is he seems, from what Lizzie has said, to have a kind of ordinary background. Essentially, there was kind of no kind of previous criminal record, essentially, with like kind of gun crime in the past. But I think, like we've been saying, kind of the issue remains is that gun control laws are still... They're really out of hand in America.
To put it into context, more people have died in this single incident than in the 4 terror attacks that have happened in the UK this year. Like, that's... That's such a horror. So you think about how terrifying it was when we had the Westminster Bridge attacks or the Manchester attacks, and how scared people were. And yet, there have been nearly double the amount of deaths at this point, and that number's going to keep rising as, you know, people are in hospitals in critical conditions. Like, we've not got the final death toll yet, and I think that's what's so terrifying, is that one individual can do this amount of damage with seemingly little preparation.
Do you think there's an argument to be had for those who would try and defend a person's right to own a gun, especially in the light of something like this, where, you know, like we said with the Westminster attack or Manchester as well, you know, you can't, you know, if you're standing at a bus stop, you don't know if someone's going to turn around and chuck acid in your face or pull out a knife, or even now with people using stuff like trucks and lorries and suddenly just driving into the middle of a crowd. You know, there's no, you know, the police can't read people's minds. There's no, yeah. We can't account for individual
also,
agency.
Like, civilians having weapons isn't going to change these, like, clearly doesn't change these people committing these sort of, like, horrendous acts. You don't have to disarm your police. Like, I understand, particularly in America, which is such a vast country, I understand the safety that white Americans feel by having armed police. You know, you've got a whole other problem with race and discrimination in the American police force, but as a generalization, having better gun control laws for your citizens doesn't make you unsafe, because it doesn't mean that your police are going to be unarmed. It doesn't mean that those people charged with your protection are going to be unarmed. But realistically, if a civilian was holding a gun at this concert, what good would it have done?
But maybe
the guy was the 32nd floor, the 32nd floor of a hotel that was some 100 meters away. What good would, if everyone in that concert had had guns, what difference would it have made?
But unfortunately, within the kind of wider reality of that, you know, it's very unlikely that even after this tragic incident, you know, things are going to massively change in terms of gun control laws in America. And you know, you touched on the fact that a police officer can be armed, and you know that. You know, that is, you know, and that's what we have in the UK. But then maybe in terms of a wider discussion, you know, particularly people from the African-American community would view attempts to take away gun owners' rights as a kind of thing of, well, now there's even nothing protecting me from, you know, the issues that are going on in America in terms of police or violence and stuff like that. So unfortunately, it's kind of, when we have these individual incidents, you know, people want to respond and change, but then there's just this whole kind of wider mess that is, you know, Washington DC that it seems pretty hard to penetrate.
But does the assumption that US police have that people are carrying guns, what essentially results in the amount of police brutality, police violence towards the African American communities, like,
true,
because
I guess,
they assume that people have guns because the guns are easily accessible, therefore they always have their guard up, they're always ready to shoot before anything else. Whereas if it was more difficult for people to have hold of guns, if there weren't open carry laws, if you were less scared as a police officer, you might be a little bit more hesitant with your trigger finger.
True, I guess if you would need a kind of change in police policy, whereas, like you said, if every citizen has a kind of access to a gun, then yeah, there is going to be much more kind of urgency of, you know, just simply a robbery or something like that. You know, it suddenly could escalate into something larger. Whereas if you know that person, it's very unlikely they have a weapon, then there might be a change in police policy over how to react in those situations. But unfortunately, I feel still that even after this horrific tragedy, that's still some way off